Once again, this class is Catching the Waves of Revival. I'm your instructor up under the apostolic leadership of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. I'm so thankful for he and the royal family. I'm thankful for connection. Connection makes a difference. You know, a lot of people try to do ministry on their own, but connection makes the difference. That's why God set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, gifts of healing, work of miracles, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. God intended for all of the fivefold ministry gift to connect to the first gift that Jesus gave and God set in the church. And that is so that we won't have novice out here trying to carry the weight of ministry without having a father in their lives. So I'm thankful for Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., Mom Carolyn Thompson, the entire royal family, one of the greatest connections in all the earth. So if you're a minister of the gospel and you're not a part of LTMA, I want to encourage you to connect. Just don't be in the school. Connect to cutting edge ministry. Your life will be different. Father, tonight we're so thankful for the privilege we have of sharing in this school of ministry. Once again, I thank you for the connection that you've given me since 1998. Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., ever-increasing word training center, word of life, and ever-increasing word ministries. I thank you for all of those connections. I thank you that my life, my family's life, the life of my ministry has all been different since we've made that connection. So we always want to make sure that we honor that connection. And more than anything, we want the people to know that we flow from apostolic ministry, but none of this can be done without God, the Holy Spirit, breathing upon us. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for breathing upon our mind, wording our mouth tonight as we share with these students the word of life. Amen. Now, tonight we're going to deal with, last week we dealt with times of revelation, which was the first stage of revival. And tonight we're going to deal with number 2 and 3, which is times of repentance and times of refreshing. Now, let me say this. The reason why all revivals begin with times of revelation is because we cannot move forward in God without revelation knowledge. That's why, like Paul's testimony when he wrote to the church at Galatia, he say, I certify unto you, brethren, Galatians 1 and 11. He say, I certify unto you, brethren, that the gospel that I preach is not after man. He said, I wasn't taught it by man, neither did I learn it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is very important to understand that the entire church is built upon the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and hell cannot prevail against it. So we understand that the 7 stages of revival would begin with times of revelation, simply because without God revealing himself, a manifesting himself to a man, we cannot impart that which have not been revealed and delivered unto us. So we'll begin tonight with the 2nd stage of revival, which is times of repentance.
The second stage
leading to the times of revival is called the times of repentance.
The revelation of the ways,
workings,
and the nature of the Holy Spirit.
It requires drastic changes
on the part of the church.
And you know, the church are the believers, the called out ones, not the edifice, not the building. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. God said the new covenant, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days. God talks about him living on the inside of us, putting and writing his laws in our mind. Okay, go ahead.
New wine
new wine warrants a change
in the wineskins.
It is not God who needs to change.
He boldly declares,
I am the Lord, Malachi 3:6. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. Now, it's very important to understand that you cannot, Jesus taught this lesson, you cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. So that's why times of repentance are so important, because repentance is more than just repenting from sin. See, the sin issue have already been dealt with once and for all. So the times of repentance is not just limited to repentance from sin. It's repentance carries with it a greater weight of changing the mind, changing your paradigm, changing the way you think. As a matter of fact, we should be thinking like God. If we think like God, then we can act like God. We can do like God. We can feel like God. All of those things are important. So in times of repentance, understand that the church has been very strong, and rightfully so, on repentance from sin. But all we have to do is go to the scripture and recognize that God dealt with sin once and for all. When Jesus Christ hung on that tree, sacrificed himself, shed his blood, ascended to the heavenly holy of holies, and put that blood on the mercy seat, that blood didn't cover sin. That blood literally washed away sin, in so much that God said he has no more remembrance of sin, because when he looks at us, he looks at us through the prism of the shed blood of the risen Christ.
Revelation knowledge
is seen as the early rain that comes upon the ground, softening the soil.
The purpose of the early rain
is to break up the fallow ground
for plowing.
There are two types of repentance.
Repentance is not only
an aspect of the confession of sin. It's not only the aspect of the confession of our sins,
but it is the turning away
from that,
which is displeasing to God,
and choosing a lifestyle
that honors
and is pleasing to him. That cannot be done without the renewing of the soul. Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3 say, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, not God, that you present your body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our what? Reasonable, or our spiritual service. But he goes on in verse 2 to say these words, and be not conformed, be not conformed, be not conned, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, a complete metamorphosis. Be ye transformed, watch this, by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The last I checked, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God is a GAP, a gap. What does that mean? There should be a difference between us and the world. That cannot happen without transformation. That word transformation depicts a caterpillar that's crawling on the ground in one stage, crawls up into a tree, gets into a cocoon, and goes through a metamorphosis where he's no longer crawling because he's transformed into a butterfly. Well, that's the kind of transformation our minds must go through so that we can prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The church have dealt a lot with dealing with sin, but what the church has not understood is that the problem with sin is in the soul. See, when we are born of God, the spirit of man, he's in contact with God. He's in union with God. He's in contact with divinity. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We have the seed of God's word in us, and we cannot sin because God's seed is in us. But that soul, that unrenewed, that unregenerated mind can have a believer who loves God acting like they've never been saved. Why? Because they have not taken the time to have their minds renewed so that they can prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Go ahead.
Repentance is not just an act,
but it's a lifestyle.
Cultivating an attitude
to continuously change
until our lives are aligned
to God's word
and God's will
for us.
God's will, God's purpose, God's plan, God's agenda for us.
All of that is included in repentance. Go ahead.
There are two types of repentance.
Repentance from sins
and repentance from dead works.
Both of these aspects of repentance
are complementary
to one another.
Matured repentance
is incomplete without these two aspects
being in manifestation, demonstration, and operation.
Repentance from sins
is the turning away
from all known sins
and all known sinful habits.
We cannot turn away.
We cannot do it on our own.
That's why God gave to us the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is our helper.
You know, the Bible talks about, Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Well, how is the flesh weak?
The flesh is weak because the soul has not gained control of the flesh.
See, flesh will only do what the soul allows it to do.
We cannot bring our bodies into subjection without the soul being transformed.
Go ahead.
The sin nature has been taken out of our spirits.
Our spirits have been recreated
in the image and in the likeness of God.
But there still lies a sin habit
in our souls and in our bodies.
Repentance from sins
is to deal with the sin habit
that's in, but that's both in our soul and in our bodies.
When such a life breaks forth
in us,
we shall know our adoption as the sons and daughters of a living God.
The repentance of sins
is obeying God's requirements of us.
All through the scriptures, Jesus said, if you love me,
if you love me.
So love is qualified with an if statement.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my word.
Jesus talked about a group of religious people.
He said, why you don't understand my speech?
Why can't you hear my word?
I tell you why you can't hear my word.
Because you're of your father, the devil.
See, he was a liar from the beginning.
He's the father of lies.
So that's why you listen to him.
But if you want to hear me, you're going to have to make some changes in your life
by obeying me.
Not just lip service.
Jesus in one passage of scripture say,
your mouth speaks one thing, but your mind, your heart is far from me.
So our heart must line up what's coming out of our mouth.
Go ahead.
Repentance from dead works.
Repentance from dead works
is the turning away
from all things
that are not profitable
to God's kingdom
and to God's spirit life.
We need to understand
that both good and evil
can come from the same tree.
Called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
When we rely on the human mind and human wisdom,
we are partaking from the tree
of the knowledge of good and evil.
Without this type of discernment,
the church cannot mature
to its level of purity
and holiness.
Repentance from dead works
keeps us from the tree
of the knowledge of good and evil.
Now, let's talk about the benefits of repentance.
The repentance from sins
brings us to meet with the Master.
Here we know and understand forgiveness,
healing,
and salvation.
The repentance from dead works
brings us to walk with the Master.
Principles of repentance from sins.
Repentance from sins
affects four major areas of our lives.
Repentance in these areas
constitutes true repentance of the saints.
The following principles
are being drawn from
Luke chapter 15,
verses 11 through 32,
the prodigal sons.
Number one,
repentance is coming to our senses.
In coming to his spiritual senses,
the son experienced the following.
His mind was being renewed.
His mouth was confessing his disobedience.
His emotions, feelings, will was being restored
for normal function.
His spirit wanted and desired the Father's restoration
rather than depend upon the world's resources.
Number two,
repentance means I come back to the Father.
In coming back to the Father,
the Son chose freely
and made the decision himself.
He felt that he had lost his position as a son.
And he was only worthy to be his father's slave or servant.
He was coming back,
but not because of privileges,
positions, or blessings.
He tried to suggest
how the Father should deal with him,
and repentance
is coming to God on his terms,
not ours.
Now,
it's very key to understand that, because
I believe Satan works overtime in the lives of believers to make you think God thinks ill towards you.
But Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you,
thoughts of peace and not of evil."
Why is that?
Because God already dealt with the sin of man once and for all by the sacrifice of himself.
So the way he thinks about us is not the way that the enemy try to make us think he's thinking.
That's why so many people don't come to God when they have an issue.
They hide like Adam did in the garden.
They hide. You don't have to hide from God. You can't hide from God,
because the Bible says his eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
But God made provision by shedding blood.
And then he tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. One of the things you will learn in following the apostolic ministry of Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. is that he talks a lot about us following God, recognizing our weaknesses and our insufficiencies. See, we can't be braggadocious and prideful. All of us need to recognize that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot live this life. Go ahead. Repentance is coming back
to the Father's house.
Repentance is coming back to the Father's house. In coming back to the Father's house, he was restored
by the authority
he once offended. The church leadership should be actively involved
in this type of restoration.
He was covered under a spiritual covering,
and thus he was protected
from being a prey of Satan
or any religious attacks.
The signet ring
speaks not only of authority,
but it also represents the chain of authority
he was going to
have to live accountable to.
He was given a place of acceptance,
and he was restored in the relationship
as a son.
He was not accepted as a slave or a visitor.
Because true repentance
brings complete and full restoration
of sonship.
Number four.
Repentance is coming back
to the Father's family.
In coming back to the Father's family,
the Son had to face those
whom he had offended
and prove his sincerity in his return.
True repentance
not only seeks reconciliation,
but it assures the offended party.
The son needed the father.
The son needed the father to help him to be reconciled
to his brother
and to protect him
from further abuse
from the unforgiving congregation.
Repentance is a prerequisite
for possessing inheritance.
Without the redemption of the body,
there's no adoption as sons.
And without the adoption as sons,
we cannot share in the inheritance
that is reserved for us.
When we walk in true repentance,
and we're moving in the Spirit of God
and in faith,
God will take us across
the River Jordan
to possess our inheritance, which is the promised land.
Please read
Joshua, the fifth chapter,
verses 2 through 12.
Principles for possessing inheritance.
Number one,
inheritance is reserved for sons only.
The son qualifies
through his position
and by his relationship with the father.
Number two,
we must know what our inheritance is.
We must know what belongs to us.
Then we can stake a claim on it.
It is impossible to pursue something
that we do not know exists.
Number three,
misunderstanding the Father's willingness
to share inheritance.
God's willingness
to share the inheritance with us
must not be misconstrued
to mean that we now have a license
to,
for self-indulgence and selfishness. The goodness of God and his prosperity often test our hearts and our motives.
We often fail in success
rather than succeed through failure. There's always a temptation to take your inheritance before the time. Immature Christians try to lay possessions of the inheritance before its time. Impatience is often rooted in selfishness, and it is a sign of character faulting. God works first of all upon the character of the vessel, so that God's people can have a vessel that can contain and maintain God's outpouring. Number five, inheritance must be enjoyed in the context of the family. All that God has given unto us is for us to be a blessing to others. We need to press into God for our full inheritance and for all that God hath prepared for us. Number six, love for the Father must never be reduced
by the love of
inheritance. Our love for God must not become overwhelmed by our desires and our love for our inheritance. And our love for God does not suffer negligence and become second to our love for our ministries, our gifts, or any other thing. Number seven, wisdom that is needed to administer our inheritance. We must not take our inheritance out of kingdom purposes. Inheritance that is used outside of kingdom or God's purposes becomes contaminated, abused, or misused. We must seek God's wisdom of how he wants those gifts and talents to be properly administered. The proper administration of God's resources will always reveal God's will and his character. Number eight, godly lifestyles enhances the usage of our inheritance. Satan will rob us of our inheritance if we start to live carelessly in this world. If we follow the dictates or the desires of the flesh, our position of power and authority will be reduced. Number nine, to live fully in our inheritance, we need to deal with the spirit of poverty. The spirit of poverty is demonic sense knowledge that plagues the human mind, saying that all the resources that we have is not going to be enough. The spirit of poverty does not only plague a poor man, but rich men too, making them to strive without God to gather more than what is needed in this life. And a spirit of poverty can cause us to abuse our gifts, talents, or ministries by pushing us beyond our human level of responsibility and cause us to strive without the Holy Spirit. Now, this is chapter 13, times of refreshing. Now, I want to say this because time, you know, I'm going through this material. There are times I really want to elaborate more. One of the things I want you to recognize about the life of the apostle that we're following, we know that he's a multimillionaire. We know how God has blessed him and has given him money coming. But I don't want you to lose sight of this fact. He's God-possessed. He loves God. And I've never heard no minister, I'm 62 years old, born and raised in the churches of God in Christ. You know who that is, many of you out there. Let me say this to you. At no time in my life, all 60 plus years, have I ever seen a man as committed to the purpose and agenda of God's kingdom. God first. God first. I've witnessed it. I've seen it. And so that's someone worthy of us following. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that because, see, a lot of time when you talk about inheritance and walking in wealth and prosperity and opulence and affluent, many people think that's going to draw you away from God. No, God say, charge them that are rich in this world. That should be distributors. How about that? You know, God wants us to, there's no reason for us to be struggling and broke and poor, bringing into God's kingdom. Well, God don't want you blessed because it's going to take you away from him. That's demonic, satanic. God wants you blessed. So receive your inheritance, walk in your inheritance, and God be with you. Times of refreshing. The times of refreshing is the latter rain that comes to mature the grain. It quickens the process of maturity by quickening the grains for the harvest. Understanding the times of refreshing. One of the major rewards of a repentant lifestyle is that the times of refreshing will always come. And that time of refreshing will always be sent from the presence of God. Number one, times of refreshing is a time of seeing the manifested presence of God break forth, breaking forth up on our lives. The consciousness of God's presence becomes a reality in us. We are conscious that God is not only around us, but God is also in us. And the manifested presence of God permeates throughout our soul and bodies with the consciousness of God. Number two, times of refreshing is a time of seeing the seed within us germinate and rise to its full potential. There are God-given gifts and God-given talents that must be placed inside of us. God has sown his seeds of promise and revelation into our spirits. All of these things that God has planted into our spirits begins to be quickened and starts to germinate. We start to see the hidden life and the anointing of what God hath placed within us. During the times or during the times of refreshing, those seeds that have already been planted within us, they see a maturing and a quickening into harvest. Number three, the times of refreshing is also a time of yielding to the presence of God. It is during these times of refreshing that God himself teaches us to communicate wisely with his presence.
The Holy Spirit
moves us
into an intimacy of relationship
and teaches us his ways.
The Holy Spirit
trains our spirits to hear God's voice
and to bear witness within our hearts
that we are being raised up as sons and daughters of a living God.
The Holy Spirit
causes us to break through
into a spirit consciousness
that allows access
into this dimension.
A quickening of our zeal
and a greater desire
for the supernatural
takes place.
Number four,
during the times of refreshing,
it is a time of us yielding
to one another
in true intimacy and fellowship.
Our love for God
is deeply enlarged.
Our hearts are broken
and contrite before him.
Our love for one another
takes up on itself stronger bonds.
Unity cannot be achieved
by human endeavors
that often try to bring
unwholesome man
to relate with each other.
Human relationships
are only meaningful
when we have the third cord in it.
God is restoring
true
and meaningful relationships
and fellowship
during the times of refreshing.
Well, I look forward to seeing you all next week.